Christ, let us start our study of Jeremiah 3 7 8. Continue to study the book of Jeremiah. This morning we ended in chapter 15. Let's come back to Jeremiah 15. The last part. Verse 19 and 20 and to serve the law, there is one requirement according to verse 19, chapter 15, verse 19. If you return, then I will bring you back and you shall stand before me. And if you take out the precious from the vial, You shall be as my mouth, let them return to you. To serve God, we need to differentiate what is good in the eyes of God and what is not good in the eyes of God. So only when we can stand on the viewpoint of God to look at the matter, then God will use us continuously to serve him. To serve God, the requirement is to change our viewpoint from human perspective into the perspective of God. So our judgment will in according to our spiritual eyesight to make a right judgment. And in this part, it's very important. Because if we try to serve God, but we fail to understand what God feels, probably we serve God according to our own will. Just like Paul, before he was converted to Jesus Christ, actually he served God with zeal, according to Philippians chapter 3. However, his zeal turned out to be not only a sinner, the chief sinner, because whatever he did, it became persecution to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we fail to look at what God sees, and then we use our own opinion, then the way we serve probably cannot be in accordance to God's will. And how can we understand what does God feel? And how does God see the all different kind of things? So we have to have a knowledge of God. So anyone who serves God must ask the first question, who are you? And then the second question, do you want me to do for you? We have to understand who are you. So the more we understand God, and we can look at an issue from the knowledge of God, and then our servitude will gradually do it according to God's will. So nowadays, we cannot serve God without knowing God. And how to know God? Study the Bible in depth. That is one of effective way. So anyone who serves God must study the Bible in depth. So we know how to guide the direction of the servitude. So we will not adopt any worldly value or worldly method or the worldly direction into our church. And by doing so, we can prevent the church from becoming conformed to this world. So Jeremiah was told he had to separate the precious from the vile. And the second point is he had to stand firm. So in verse 19, the later part, let them return to you, but you must not return to them. Let them return to you. Return to you about what? About the message you proclaim. Return means they change themselves according to the message you proclaim. But you must not return to them. You must not change your message to fit what they feel, to fit what they like. So this is equally important. But for Jeremiah to stick on the message he preached, he offended everybody. Nobody liked his message, because the message first part, you have to repent, otherwise the invasion is coming. You are going to have captivity for 70 years. The second part of the message, you have to surrender to Babylon and go with them. Then you can survive. If you don't go with them, you don't surrender, you will be killed. So all these two messages, from our look speaking, is not patriotic. It's not according to what the chosen people like to listen. What they like to listen is, God bless you, God turn the eye, shine upon you, peace be with you. You live in this land of honey and milk. You can be prosperous. Or what they like to listen is this kind of message. Now, so Jeremiah must not return to them. Stand firm. Then how can a human being, just like you and me, with flesh and blood, to stand against so many people? Then the next answer, verse 20, I will make you these people a fortified bronze wall, and they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you. So this is the most important sentence if we want to serve God. I will be with you. Moses, when he was 40 years old, he tried to serve God, but he only served one day. Why? Because he used his hand to beat up the Egyptian and die. It seems he was very brave, right? But that way of servitude cannot achieve anything. That way of servitude actually coming from the flesh. It's not coming from the spiritual. So after he was sent into the wilderness to take care of the sheep for 40 years, now in the age of 80, when God called upon him, and he said, who am I, right? So he realized he was nothing. No. He was no confident about himself. And that time, God said, I will be with you. So God will be with the person who has no confidence about the flesh, about themselves. If we have too confident about ourselves, then God cannot use us. How come? If we are too confident about ourselves, we will not totally rely on God. If we are too confident about ourselves, we will not pray for guidance of God. If we are too confident about ourselves, when anything being achieved, we will give the credit to ourselves. It's because of me, because I working hard. So something has been accomplished. So the one God used should be the one who has no confidence of flesh. Let's turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and has no confidence in flesh. So what confidence in flesh referring to? Verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else think he may have confidence in flesh, I more so. And then verse 5 talk about how come Paul was able to have confidence in flesh. Circumcision in the 8 days of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning the zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Beside that, he was under the education of Gamaliel. Beside that, he was one of the council member, and just like a senator nowadays, United States. So he has everything according to the worldly standard. But after he knew Jesus Christ, he thought all these kind of things are no use. Also, if we put our thinking into what Paul thought, yes, education can give us better tool to serve God. Yes, we have capability to achieve something, that is a better tool. We can serve God. However, if our servitude want to be fruitful, we have to feel I am weak. Only when God strengthen me, only when God guide me, then I can accomplish something. This kind of feeling is a must. So in Jeremiah chapter 15, God promised Jeremiah, he will be with him. And today, how can God be with us? We had to reach to the age when Moses was in 80 years old, that kind of spirituality. And then God gave him a staff, right? And this staff carried power. He used a staff to point to the Red Sea opened. He used a staff to strike the rock and rock flow the water. He hold the staff high and Joshua was able to overcome Amalekite. So this staff represents the promise of God with power. So today, how can God be with us? God be with us through the pouring down of the Holy Spirit. And how can God strengthen us with the power of the Holy Spirit? When we empty ourselves, we feel I am nothing. I am nothing but a dust. I am nothing but a vessel of earthen vessel. And then God can be with us and strengthen us and to accomplish his work. So the mentality of serving God is quite different from we are working in this world. And this process of changing from the worldly mentality into spiritual mentality, it takes time. So the apostle, when Jesus Christ chose them, say, come and follow me. Follow Jesus Christ. And before Jesus' ascension, then Jesus said, go into the world to preach the gospel. And come and go, there are 3 years in time span. So Jesus Christ spent 3 years to train the disciple. And every day stay together with him and listen his preaching and watching how he performed the ministry of God and also witnessing how he performed miracle and cast out demon. It takes 3 years. So that is the reason our church have a requirement. If you want to serve a church council, if you want to serve a RE teacher, you have to be baptized at least 3 years. How come 3 years? Because 3 years is the time we spend to follow Jesus Christ, to get rid of the older self and put on the new heart, we can serve him. It doesn't mean after we baptize 3 years, automatically we will become very suitable vessel to be used by God. No, only when we actively follow Jesus Christ, only when actively discipline ourselves, and then it goes through 3 years, we will be mature enough. If we don't do it very actively, maybe it takes 5 years, take 10 years to prepare ourselves ready. If we are not ready, and when the church gives us a work to do, in the time we are doing the holy work, we can see ourselves and other people can see us, there's a lot of something wrong happen. Either the attitude is wrong, or the motivation is wrong, or the method is wrong, or the goal is wrong, if we are not well prepared. We are coming here to prepare ourselves ready to serve. Prepare from where? From inner part of our heart. So that when we are ready, the calling of God will come. God will call us to serve him. Not directly, sometimes through the church council, and sometimes through the RE department, and sometimes through all different kind of channel, God can call us to serve him. So if God's calling not coming yet, and we see all my peers in the church, one by one used by church, how come church never use me? Then we start to complain about our church is unfair, right? I attend the NYTS, I attend 3-4 times. I graduated from the NYTS PMVP. And then how come the church don't want to use me? Actually our church is lacking a lot of people. We lack of manpower. So if we are ready to be used by God, if you really feel you are ready, you pray to God and God will move people to use you, definitely, because we are lacking of the people. So if the church never uses us, means we have something need to be improved. If we are something, we are ready, God will use us. So God appeared to Jeremiah and told him two things. You should be able to separate what is precious and what is not precious. Then you have to stand firm, let them return to you. You should not return to them. And God will be with you. That's chapter 15. Now we're going to chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16. 16 verse 1 to 13. Jeremiah lifestyle and message. Jeremiah 16 verse 1. And the words of the Lord also came to me, saying, you shall not take a wife, nor shall you have son or daughters in this place. Why? Right? Even Peter have wife, right? And how come Jeremiah should not have wife? Verse 3, for thus says the Lord concerning the son and daughter who are born in this place. Because for Jeremiah to have wife and children, that was in the wrong timing and wrong place. Why? Because the impending invasion, the impending calamity is coming. So when you have wife, your children only cause you to have more pain. No fun at all. Concerning their mother who born them and their father who begot them in this land. Verse 4, and they shall die a gruesome death, and they shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried, but they shall be like a refuge in the face of the earth. So because of this reason, God already foresee the suffering in the future. So you should not have a wife and children. Of course, that is a sacrifice, but also that comes from God's love to prevent him from suffering more. And chapter 16, just like the same thing, nowadays, start from internet invented, that is a new generation. Then after internet invented, we mentioned already, right? When the mobile device, the smartphone become popular, that another generation. So and more secular things or sinful tide keep on coming to us through internet, through the mobile device. So now it is so difficult to raise up the godly children. It is not impossible, but it is very difficult. Just like in the time of Jeremiah. Point E, the Lord will restore the Israel from 14 to 24. You talk about 21, God will restore the Israel. And that read the verse 19, 20, and 21 of chapter 16. This is a very gracious message. Oh Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. So in the day of affliction, God become the strength of Jeremiah. Now that is an inner strength, means the inner man can be strong to face the outer calamity. And my refuge in the day of affliction, he can hide himself under the promise of God, under the mighty acts of God. The Gentiles shall come to you from the end of the earth and say, surely our father have inherited lies, worthlessness, and unprofitable things. Will a man make God for himself, which are not God? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. How can God make them know that the Heavenly Father is the true God? When God exercises his judgment, and they will know the Almighty God is there. Yeah. But that learned from a hard way, a way of suffering. So we know God's existence, there are two ways. The first, go through the subway. We pray and God blesses, and we experience God. And the second is, we go our own way because we consider, seems there is no God. And we encounter difficulty. And we pray God deliver us from that difficulty. And that is a hard way to know God. But either way, it will help us to know God. Chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 1 to 13, Judah's sin and punishment. But in this passage, there are some very positive message inside we can learn from it. Verse 5. Verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man whose trust is in man, and make flesh his strength, whose heart depart from the Lord. Curse is very serious, right? What kind of person consider curse? The heart depart from God, and the heart rely on man. Trust in man, rely on man instead of God. How come it become cursed? Because human beings are nothing. How can you rely on human beings, right? Even one sand, a small particle of sand go into your eye, you cannot open. A trivial things happen, right? Just like your parents, if they receive the notice from tomorrow on, you don't have to come to the office, right? You've been day off. That even your father keep on lying on, rolling in the bed, cannot sleep. How come? Because there are so many bills you have to pay. If I have no income, how can I survive? So we human beings, we are so fragile. We are so weak, not withstand a lot of impact. So human beings cannot be trusted. Then what should we do? Then you come to verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. So blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. The one who trusts the Lord is a blessed person. Why? Now verse 8 explains. He shall be like a tree planted by the water. You know, tree have two parts, right? One is visible part. Another one is invisible part. Visible part is something you can see, the leaves. Or in the season, you can see the tree bear the fruit, either apple or banana or guava, whatever, right? So tree had two parts. And these two parts are closely related together. Right? If the tree is rooted deeply into the spring beside the river, then you are going to see even the weather is 100 degrees, right? It did not rain for a long, long time. But the leaves of the tree is still green. When it's season, the tree starts to bear the fruit. How come? Because the root is rooted beside the water. Now, and if the tree not rooted beside the water, when the weather is very hot, when the drought season comes, you can start to see the leaves change the color, right? Yellow color, eventually withered. Then we can see that the tree cannot bear fruit because lack of water and nutrition. So use the tree as an example to tell us what kind of person will be when the person really trusts God, and he will be like a tree planted by the water. So we human beings, we have two parts. The first part is visible part. Our physical body, and also the life, the way we live our life. And that is a visible part. How do we live our life? That visible part. But we have invisible part. And what is the invisible part? inside our heart. The deepest part of your heart, where do you root it? That is invisible part. So if we trust the Lord, which means you dig deeper into the heart, and we find out we ourselves, the deepest part of our heart actually is connected to God. And that like a tree planted beside water. But some of the members, even though they believe for a few decades, and come to the church every Sabbath, but if you dip a little bit deeper into their heart and you find out, they trust about what? They trust about money. I am not afraid of losing job because I have money. I'm not afraid of no insurance because I have money. I'm not afraid of old because I have money. I am not afraid of this and that because I have money. Oh, the bottom of the heart, they have trust of money. And some of them are trust about people. I'm not afraid of this because who and who, my relative is a very famous doctor, or who I'm a doctor. I know some very prominent lawyer, and I know this friend, I don't that friend, in a very prominent position in the government. So I'm not afraid of anything because I know a lot of people. Their part, this first part is people. All right. So everyone, people, the deepest part, they trust different kind of things. And some are more independent. I trust nobody. I trust myself. I'm well educated. I'm very young. So I trust myself. So all these kind of trust are like a tree planted in the wrong place. The only tree which can really bear fruit is the tree deepest rooted beside the water. So it's the one who can really gone through the test of all the tribulation is the one the heart is really rooted in God. If we read the book of Philippians, start from chapter 1, talk about joy, until the last chapter, talk about joy. We probably will thought, this book Philippians must come from some people who had a vacation in Hawaii, right? And live in five-star hotel, and look in Waikiki, and very happy, and start to write down a joy, 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 and joy, right? But it's not. The book of Philippians was written in the prison. Paul was imprisoned. And at that moment, it's possible he will be put to death. Right? But he said, I don't care whether to die or to live. If to die, it's good because I came together with Jesus Christ. It's good, far better than alive. But if I'm alive, it's good too. Why? Because I can help people to grow in faith. So whether to die or to live, all fine. How come? He was not afraid of death because his heart already rooted in God. His hope is in God. And then Paul was able to give thanks God in tribulation. Because tribulation make a lot of people, encourage a lot of people, move a lot of people, even preach the gospel more dedicated. So he was very comforted. People look at Paul. You see, Paul preached the gospel and been thrown into the jail. How shameful we are, right? We did not do anything for the gospel. So they start to go out and preach the gospel, and the gospel become prosperous. And Paul looked at that result. He was very comforted. How come he was able to be comforted when he was in prison? Because he was rooted in God. He was able to see the affliction from God's viewpoint, from the spiritual viewpoint. So how come Paul was able to give thanks and joyful in prison? Because physically, Paul lived in the world. Paul was in the prison. But mentally, spiritually, Paul's heart already connected with God. Deeply integrated with God. God was with him and he was with God. And God and him are almost like one. So his life become very abundant. So that's the reason he can be very joyful in tribulation. And this kind of experience today will repeat Not only Paul, we'll repeat anyone who serve God, anyone who receive Holy Spirit. Also in the book of Acts, you can see when Peter was in prison, the same thing. Peter was able to fall asleep. How come in prison was able to fall asleep? Because of peace inside. Right? And a lot of church members prayed for him. So there was a great earthquake. All the chain, right, tie them up, all fall off. And all the door all been opened. So the angel said, "Lead Peter out." And he thought it was a dream, but it was not a dream. Really, it's happened. And how come Peter had that kind of peace, right? If we compare the time when Jesus Christ was arrested, where is Peter? Peter ran away. He denied Jesus for 3 times. And nowadays, how come Peter is so peaceful? Because he prayed hard and been filled by the Holy Spirit, and God was with him. So if we continue to live a holy life and pray until we are filled by the Holy Spirit, every day that kind of peace will prevail. Because we are rooted in God, the peace will prevail. No matter what happened, you will not be afraid. Why? Because God is with me. Even the car accident happened, you will be very calm. How come very calm? Because God is with me. So if God doesn't allow, nothing is going to happen. No. So that kind of peace, because we are like a tree planted beside the river. Let's read verse 8. And will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So different season had different fruit. The fruit is to let people to enjoy it. When we have rooted in God, in different occasion and different timing, we have different kind of fruit. That just like a fruit of Holy Spirit, right? If we live together with a person, and the person filled by the Holy Spirit, the first one, the person has a lot of love, right? Very considerate. The person are very joyful. Right? The person are very peaceful, never argue with anybody. And the person had a lot of patience. And all you count these 9 different kind of fruit of Holy Spirit. And we live this together with this person is really a blessing. You will enjoy that time. Right? So, a true Christian who rooted in God will bear the fruit. No matter where you go, people will welcome us. If we leave, people will miss us. How come? Because a fruit tree already gone, you will miss it, right? Just like in your yard, if you have a very good fruit tree, one day the fruit tree being cut off, you feel so sad, right? Because that fruit tree gives you so much fruit to enjoy. So we are like a fruit tree. We have to bear the fruit. So if the whole family, father, mother, all the children, filled by the Holy Spirit, rooted in God and bear the fruit, and that family will be like what? Alive in heaven. So is it possible? Yes, it is possible. You don't need to have a lot of money. All what we need is everybody rooted in God and bear the fruit. So this is a spiritual transformation. And verse 9, chapter 17, verse 9. On the other hand, if we don't root it in God and transform and bear fruit, what is going to happen? Verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart of most of the ordinary people are deceitful and are desperately wicked. What does that mean? Difficult to change. Just like this morning, we read, right? Like Ethiopia, people cannot change the color. Just like a leper cannot change the spot. So we human beings cannot change the sinful nature. So it's difficult to change. You know, the people in Africa, because they are not educated. So the way they commit sin, it's very, very easy. You can see they use a knife to kill you, right? But in United States, are more civilized. Now, more civilized doesn't mean people don't commit sin. More civilized means they commit sin in a civilized way. All right? Sin is sin. Sinful nature is sinful nature. Everyone is the same. In United States, Africa is the same. The only difference is one is civilized way. One is another one is uncivilized way. That's the only difference. Right? So a few years ago, there was some Wall Street, right? A lot of financial crisis happened. And according to the Wall Street analysis, right? Because of what? Conclusion, one word, greedy. And you know, Wall Street, most of them are well-educated. The most talented people all work in Wall Street. And they commit sin, crime with a civilized way. How come? They know the law. And they can then go through loophole of the law and make a lot of people lose money. Oh, so people are so wicked, nobody can change the people's heart unless God. And then we read verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart, test the mind, even give every man according to his own way. According to the fruit of his doing. So God is going to retribute everyone according to the way he think, according to the way he speak, according to the way he live his life. So definitely, everybody has to face God and give his own account. In certain day, certain hour, why do you say so? Why do you think so? Why do you do so? All right? Nobody can escape from the judgment of God. God will hold everybody accountable. Oh, so this kind of wickedness of people's heart one day will be revealed. Oh. Now, verse 11. At the partridge that brood but does not hatch, so he who gets the rich but not by right, it leaves him in the midst of his day, and at the end he will be a fool. If we don't get the money with a righteous way, and that money is going to leave the person in the middle age. So righteousness and the profit, when you put together, it can become very difficult to make a decision. Right, righteousness and profit, put it together. Are you willing to sacrifice the profit in order to be righteous? Or we want to hold on the profit and sacrifice the righteous? That will be a very real test when we go into the world and deep in the society. You look into Abraham, right? When Abraham's servant and Lot, they have argued with each other, and Abraham feel that we are siblings, so we should not fight with each other, right? You choose first. To Abraham, right? You choose first. You go left, I turn go right. You go right, I go left. And Lot, the younger one, choose the best one and leave the second best to Abraham. And to Abraham, he feel fine. As long as we can live peacefully, it's more important than the property. If we look into the end, right? Did Lot get anything? No. Lot lose everything, including his wife, become a pillar of salt. And did Abraham lose anything? No. When Lot moved away, and Abraham, the God come to Abraham and say, you look around. Whatever you look, I will give to you. You start to walk around, whatever you walk, I will give it to you. So when we live in this world, we should have a confidence that if I do a right thing, I make a right decision to please God, I will be blessed. This is a fundamental concept we need to have. We don't have to follow people's value. We don't have to follow the cultural direction. We only follow what is right, what is wrong in the eyes of God. and we are going to be righteous in the eye of God and receive his blessing. So this is chapter 17. And then the later part of chapter 17, from verse 19 to verse 27, he talk about how to keep the Sabbath. When we keep the Sabbath, everyone should not carry any burden into Jerusalem. This is very meaningful, right? Sabbath, yes, I don't work, right? So we come to the church. And what does that mean? We should not carry any burden. That's something spiritual. When we come to the church to enjoy the Sabbath, let us trust all our worry, let us trust all our burden to the Lord. My mother-in-law just passed away last year. When she was in the last few months, because taking some medicine, and she has diarrhea. But she was the one, every Thursday, she wanted to come to the church. So the diarrhea, so many times a day, and Sabbath morning, whether to go to church or not, because go to church is so inconvenient when you have diarrhea, right? But she insists, I want to go to church. But do you know what happened? After she dressed up and left home, the diarrhea stopped. And until the Sabbath finished, the second morning, the diarrhea happened. It's not only one time, every week the same. It's really a miracle. So Sabbath is the day not only physical rest. Sabbath is the day you can trust all your burden, all your worry to God. God really take care of us. So she has very strong faith because she had experience. If you really have a heart, want to come to the church and to worship God, God will never disappoint you. God will reward you. Really let us to enjoy the rest. And that is a wonderful blessing you cannot purchase by money. And it will give us free if we really keep the Sabbath. Let's pray inside.